Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider wisdom. My son, if you receive my words, before we get into the lesson, again, it's good to see everyone out this morning. We need to be praying for everyone, praying for our efforts, and praying for those that are unable to be out with us this morning. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs 2. We're going to be using this chapter as our text this morning. In Proverbs chapter 2, this chapter presents five fruits of wisdom. One, the seeker shall find God. Two, wisdom provides many precious rewards. Three, God's man is delivered from evil. Four, he is safe from harlotry. And five, he will receive a special inheritance. If someone were to ask you, what do you want? If you could have anything, what would you want to have? How many of us would ask for wisdom? Even though we read in the Bible about Solomon asking for wisdom, I would dare say that is not one of the top three things that we would ask for if someone could give that to us. However, it is so important that we have wisdom, that we get wisdom. And in this chapter 2, notice also there's a certain format. If then, if you do this, then this will happen. And we must begin by wanting wisdom. We've got to receive it. There are many strong verbs in here, but we've got to receive it. In verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. These two phrases are parallel statements, like many times when we read in the Psalms, something will be stated one way and then in a parallel way following that. The teacher appeals to the student to be receptive and to be eager for God's wisdom. So verses 1 through 4 give us a formula for a successful life. And notice the ifs, the conditions. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. That's a lot in that verse. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, there's a lot of effort that goes into that. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, that shows the desire that someone has, that we need to have wisdom. For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If we want wisdom, we've got to cry out for it. We've got to speak up about it. We've got to let people know that we want wisdom. Wisdom is not gained by passive effort. And it's sad. There's just a dumbing down in our society. And people talk about artificial intelligence. And I heard someone say, I'm not as concerned about the increase in artificial intelligence as I am concerned about the decrease in natural intelligence. And so many times people, it's like, well, why should I have to learn this? If I want to know the answer, all I have to do is ask my phone and it'll tell me the answer. Friends, your phone will tell you something. You don't know if it's the right answer. You don't know if it's something Satan wants to plant in your head. We don't know. And we know we're going to see that God is the source of wisdom, and we shouldn't see how little wisdom we can have. Wisdom is going to make one of the biggest differences in our lives. We're going to be confronted with so many things when you're young and time goes so fast. And unfortunately, the way you get wisdom is by trial and error and going through things. And we might wish we could go back in time with the wisdom we have now. But this is one of the reasons he says, cry out for it. Let people know that you want wisdom. There are people out there that want to know the wisdom of the past. And there are people from older people that are willing to share it if somebody's interested. Yea, if thou cry after knowledge, the seeker after wisdom must be earnest. He must extend himself diligently, search for true wisdom with the same drive that men devote to seeking earthly treasures. So how do men seek money? A lot of people will not stop at anything to do to get rich. They will work long hours. They will look everywhere for things to do. They will make sacrifices because they want that money. They want this, they want that. And yet wisdom is one of the most precious things that there is. And we think we're just going to get it by osmosis or wake up one morning and we're going to have it. Seek wisdom as earnestly as the covetous man seeks wealth. You see, some people in business that are very successful, they don't work a 40-hour work week. They work 50, 60, 70. They're working all the time because some of those people, they want more and more and more. And how much do we work for wisdom? We think maybe if we come to services and spend a few minutes here a week, we're going to get wise. Seek wisdom as earnestly as the covetous man seeks wealth, and be ashamed if you are less earnest after true riches than he is after the wealth that perishes. People will work themselves to death for something that perishes, and then not work at all for that which is eternal. So many people have it backwards. Friends, my son, if you receive my words, we cannot become complacent. Proverbs 1:32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. And friends, we don't need to hate Jesus to waste our life. We only need to think that we are okay the way we are. I don't need to do more. I'm better than this person. I'm better than that person. Friends, that's complacency. A Christian cannot be complacent. We are to be diligent in our work in the vineyard. The complacency of fools will destroy them. We see the word if in verse 1, again in verse 3, again in verse 4. We also see the word then in verse 5 and in verse 9. These if-then clauses, these conditional clauses. Those are the markers in verses 1 through 11 that map out the process of change. Friends, change is conditional. You want to make more money? Do you do the same thing? No, something's got to change. You want to gain weight? Do you eat the same thing? No, you got to make a change. Do you want to lose weight? You got to do things differently. If we do this, then that will happen. And we see these phrases throughout God's word. And back in the Old Testament, with the blessings and curses from God on the Israelites, if you do this, then I will bless you. If you do not heed my words and do not do this, I'll curse you. Peter uses those phrases in his letter, if then. And look, notice the verbs in here. If you receive, treasure up, making your ear attentive, inclining your heart, calling out, raise your voice, seek, search. Friends, we must make a strong effort to pursue wisdom. That's one of the things, even though it may not be on our list, if it's not on our list, we need to put it on our list, and then we need to work toward gaining wisdom. So do you see the point? It's not automatic for us. Wisdom is not our default setting. And wisdom, we are never going to get there by drifting. And we cannot become a God-successful person by being neutral, cute, safely unchanged. That's complacency. We've got to, if we want wisdom, we've got to shake things up a bit. And God is offering us a treasure that is worth seeking. We talk about eternal life, and I know we all want eternal life. We want heaven. I would say we all want heaven. We all want other things. But then again, why don't we say, I want wisdom. I want more. There's just something, some agenda that doesn't want us to be wise. I don't know what your personal need is, but I do know this, that God is saying to you, my child, I am available. If you want more, if you want me more than you want your own status quo. You see, people don't like change. They want this, but they don't want this enough to change, whatever this might be. If we give ourselves completely to God, and we ought to do that today, we ought to turn to Him right now and say, I want to change more than I want to stay the way that I am. Are we satisfied with our life if Christ came back today? If we knew that He was coming back at 1 o'clock today, are there things that we would change? Do we want to change more than we want to stay the way that we am? That I am. This is the wholeheartedness that God requires. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God cannot bless us unless He has us. And when we try to keep in us some area that is our own, I'll give God this much, but I still want this much for myself. That's an area of death. Therefore, in love, God claims it all. There's no bargaining with Him. He's not satisfied with part of us. He wants all of us. Remember, He's a jealous God. The status quo, are you afraid to let go of? Why is that so great? Whatever your situation is, why is that so great? Who's telling you that God is a bad risk? A lot of times, we don't want to give up something, and we know that this is waiting for us. Do we think that God's a bad risk, and if we leave this behind, that God is not going to come through for us? My son, if you will receive my words. Who's telling you that you're okay the way you are? Who's telling you that you don't need to learn anymore? Who's telling you you don't need to do anymore? There are people out there in the world that'll tell you that all day long. Why do we buy into that? We buy into that with the world many times because we're longing for love, to be accepted by people in the world. And friend, people long for love, and we need to long for God's love. You see, we're looking for acceptance in the wrong place. I don't want to say that country song. But we're looking for love, and we need to look to God for love. We see that all the time. It's not out in chasing the things of the world where we get our acceptance. When's the last time you saw a feel-good movie that ended with, and then she ditched all her friends so she could finally get that managed position at that big company she wanted to work for? You don't see that. What does she do? She turns down that position. She's running back to meet the boy. The boy's running to meet her. Why? Because of love. Movies resolve with love. because people long for love. God our Father loved us. He loved us so much to send His only Son down to the cross for us. Here is how we respond to His love. We turn from our complacency and we turn back to God through prayer, confession, repentance, and seeking God. It's all about desire for God. What does God promise for those who seek Him with an openness to change? Here's what every true seeker can count on from God. The search for wisdom is not going to be a disappointment. In verse 5, then, when you're searching for this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. What are you willing to pay for that? That's priceless. What God will do for us. The fountain of wisdom is God. Wisdom is a gift that comes from God. That's why the search for wisdom will succeed. And God knows you're seeking for it, and He'll give it. James 1:5. God has stored up wisdom, therefore He has plenty to give. Do we think that, you stop and think about God's love. Does God have enough love to spread around over 7 billion people? And I heard somebody talking about having children one time, and they said, I don't know if I can have so many children. They said, I just don't know if I can divide my love between that many children. And the person said, you don't understand. You aren't dividing your love, you're multiplying your love. You got the math wrong. God can love 7 billion. He can love 700 billion people. He's got plenty of love. Do we think He doesn't have enough wisdom to give to us? His wisdom is infinite. God has always promised to take care of His children. But a lot of times we don't ask. We don't have that relationship with our Father. My son, if you receive my words, verse 6 says, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Friends, the Bible is the mouth of God today. It's not a voice speaking within our minds, but the Bible lying open before our eyes. This is the mouth of God today. Do we want to know what God tells me to do in this situation? I open up this book and read it and study it and search it, and He will tell me. Our Heavenly Father is promising that to all of us in verses 5 through 8. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. If we will seek God honestly, He will deal with us directly. A lot of times, though, we want to live like we want to live and then expect God to keep His end of the bargain. His end of the bargain is we live as He wants us to live. What else can we count on from God if we see Him as in verses 1 through 4 urges to? We notice another then. The beginning of verse 9 followed by more assurances. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. If there were a list of qualifications and you were applying for a job, the more qualifications you have, the more a company is likely to pay you. These qualifications, these benefits, these things, these principles, righteousness, justice, equity, every good path, again, these are things we can't put a price tag on, and understanding them, and He's going to give them to us. God is saying, if you will seek Me, wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Wise people do not pout and whine and say, do I have to? Do I have to come back tonight? Do I have to come on Wednesday? That's not a wise person. A wise person will say, you mean I get to? You mean I get to come back tonight? You mean I get to come back Wednesday? You mean I get to do this? I get to do that? You see, when we are wise, we love the things of God as satisfying to our souls. This should be one of the most satisfying times that we have in the week, is coming together to learn those things that's going to help us spend eternity with our Father in heaven. This should be a time that we do not want to sell for anything. The experience that Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Maybe we aren't hungry enough and thirsty enough, and we're trying to satisfy our things with the world. Friends, the things of the world, they will satisfy temporarily, but they are not eternal. Understanding shall keep thee. These words introduce another part of the benefits of wisdom and knowledge of God, to which it leads, and that is, it is not only that to which wisdom leads a man, but is that which saves him or keeps him, that eternally blesses him. So it leads us in the right way, and it keeps us from going in the wrong way. We can be protected in this world. With God's wisdom in our hearts, we are fortified against two temptations that we are going to face in this world. He mentions two temptations in Proverbs chapter 2. The first temptation is described in verses 12 through 15, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. The key is in verse 12, men of perverted speech. They're often impressive, successful men. A person needs all the discretion he can obtain in order to protect himself from people like this. Sometimes we say they're a real slick talker. They've got smooth words. Here's what we need to know so that our heart can stay on alert and move among such men this week. Perverted speech is not just bad words and dirty jokes. It includes even good words, but good words being used to turn things upside down. A smooth talker. Words should represent reality. They should be true to what is, but words can be used to twist reality. Words can be used to flip meanings into their opposite. In politics, for example, listen to the way people use a good word like patriotism. In sociology, listen for the way people use a good word like family. In religion, listen to the way people use a good word like Jesus. So patriotism, family, Jesus, those are all good words. And we know how society twists those words to even redefine what the family is, redefine what patriotism is, redefine who Jesus is. You see, bad men use good words to smuggle in bad ideas. And some people are fooled. But if wisdom has entered her heart, tricky words just won't pass the smell test. They'll say something, that just doesn't smell right. You might not be able to explain what bothers you, but you'll be protected by the wisdom God has put inside you. And remember that big little word, no. God-given wisdom in our heart will protect us from a second temptation, described in verses 16 through 19. Verse 16, the second temptation, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. for her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None will who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. And when I read that, the first person that came to mind was Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife. Temptation is out there from immoral women. And that's not to say that's the only temptation, but he's mentioning two big temptations. And with Potiphar's wife, she went after Joseph day after day after day, trying to wear him down. But he had wisdom. He had wisdom. He knew it wasn't right to be with another man's wife. And again, how did he know that? How did Joseph know that? Was it because he read the Ten Commandments? No. Ten Commandments hadn't been given at that time. Was it because he heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount? No. Jesus hadn't come on the scene yet. How did Joseph know it was wrong to have another man's wife? Because the marriage law goes all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning. One man and one woman. He knew it was wrong. Verse 17, that leaves the companion of her youth, forgets the covenant of her God. The covenant of marriage made before God, Malachi 2, 14, 15. God hates divorce. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. The choice of lifestyle is fatal. Those who choose it do not return to real life. The irony is that they went here seeking the good life. You stop and think about that. Man or woman, they're looking for that good life. The spouse they have just isn't what they want anymore. They're looking for the good life. When they go and they find that other person, what happens? They usually ruin everything that they built. Their life is miserable, causes family problems. But it's all devious. It's deceitful. My son, if you receive my words, you need wisdom. We need wisdom. But wisdom is more than avoiding sin. That would merely be negative. Wisdom also escorts us to the path of everything desirable. So wisdom is going to keep us from what is bad, and wisdom is going to escort us to what is good. So that you may walk in the way of goodness, keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the faithful will be uprooted from it. So here's the conclusion to Proverbs 2. God as our Father points to the resource we all need in our lives. It's wisdom. The Bible is not holding up a standard and leaving us to ourselves. These verses are good news for weak people. If then, if we do this, then this. It's predictable. It's predictable. Your most meaningful prayer is to call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, cry for wisdom. We all need wisdom. The whole passage is meant to position us in that place of blessing and protection, and we need that. The more wisdom we have, the more blessings we are going to have, the more protections that we are going to have. However, disobedience will force God to recall his gift of the land, which was given conditionally, where he's talking about leading them in into the land, for the upright will dwell in the land and blameless will remain in it. Deuteronomy 28:63. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from the land which you go to possess. Remember when they came out of Egypt and God told them that he was going to give them this land. Through a series of events, he gave them that land. But there were conditions, if then, there were conditions that they had to comply with to keep it. When they didn't comply with those conditions, when they married those foreign women, when they were led astray into idolatry, God removed them out of that land. He let them be taken into captivity. You shall be plucked from the land which you go to possess. Friends, we need wisdom. Wisdom will lead us into what is good. Wisdom will help us avoid so many pitfalls in life. And God is the fountain of wisdom. He's a fountain that never runs dry, a fountain that is never empty. Wisdom is a gift which comes from God. That's why the search for wisdom will succeed. If we want wisdom, we're going to get it. God knows we are seeking wisdom, and He will give it to us. God has stored up wisdom, and He has plenty of it to give. And friends, God has always promised to take care of His children. So the question then becomes, are you a child of God? If you're not a child of God, you need to be. If you are not a child of God, or if you are a child of God, we all need wisdom. Not wisdom like the world would tell us, but wisdom from God. God telling us things that will keep us from sinning and that will lead us to eternal life. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.